Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
God is so good. We had a wonderful time here last night in the house of the Lord as always, and yesterday morning. And we are so greatly anticipating the rest of this holy week, staying in the presence of the Lord, and then on Sunday celebrating the resurrection of Christ. So come, bring your friends, invite people to come with you. People have the inclination to come. That's a very good excuse that someone might take you up on it. You know what? I'll go on Resurrection Sunday. So tonight we're continuing on with our study with Here Comes That Dreamer Joseph, and I always do a little bit of review, not a lot, but I want to say that it is God who gave Joseph the dream, and God also is the fulfiller of the dreams. And what I like to tell people, I said this when I spoke at the Dream Conference in Matson, is many people, they absolutely say pursue your dreams, and I disagree with that. I don't say pursue your dreams. I say pursue the giver of the dream, and then your dream will be fulfilled by God, because he's the one, the only one who can fulfill a God dream. So we're continuing the story of Joseph, and Joseph, not only did God give Joseph dreams, but he also gave him a double blessing, that he could interpret dreams, the gift of the interpretation of dreams, and I like that. And, you know, it would be kind of hard to have dreams and then, hey, I don't even know what they mean. You know, it's great that God gave him that gift, but interestingly, his brothers hated him for that, that he had this gift of dreams and also the favor of the father. There's a word for that. It's called jealousy. And, you know, people are sometimes jealousy of you for the things that God is doing in your life, for the blessings that God has given to you, that, you know, wow, they got so blessed. You need to take that up with God, not with me. But interestingly, although the brothers were jealous and hated him for his dreams, interestingly, it was actually a dream that Pharaoh had that got Joseph promoted all the way to the palace. So God knows what he's doing. And now at this time, as of tonight, Joseph is second in command, only under Pharaoh. Now, imagine that we'll take Janice. She's sitting in church tonight and she's serving God. And tomorrow, before the sun is up, they call her, and she's now the vice president. And there's, you know, people go, ah, that's not fair. Who does she think she is? You know, God does what he wants to do. Let me tell you something. God is in charge of your destiny, and anything can happen in the kingdom of God. And prior to this time, Joseph was sold into Egypt. He didn't get to Egypt on the in a limo, by no stretch of the imagination. He was sold into Egypt as a slave, and he worked for the chief of the captain of the guard, whose name was Potiphar. Potiphar's wife falsely accused Joseph, and Potiphar did not, I repeat, stand up for Joseph or speak up for Joseph. Later, Joseph was then sent to the king's prison, and it was once again the chief of the captain of the guard, none other than Potiphar, who once again, Joseph worked for him two times. He was in charge of all the prisoners. First time, he was in charge of all of the things in Potiphar's house except his wife. Second time, he's in charge of all of the prisoners. And so it's interesting to me. I find it very interesting. The lesson is not lost on me that two times he worked for Potiphar and without great success. And the final time, Potiphar is going to work for him. He's going to become Potiphar's boss. So I think that's great. I would say it like this. Be careful who you look down on. Do not look down on anyone, because you don't know who they are. You don't know what they might be able to do in your life. You know, I had the neatest little experience about 2 weeks ago. I went to have my nails done, and the girl I sat down with was just immediately rude. I mean, immediately rude. And Frida and I once had an experience in a restaurant like that, and it was just awful. And it's just like, are we on camera or something? This is just too much. Well, this little girl was just so rude. In fact, I asked her for a particular color. I said, I would like this color. And she literally told me, that doesn't look good on you. I'm like, I thought I got to choose a color. I'm just like, she's picking the color for me. So I'm like, you know, I'm not going to lose my salvation over it. I'm like, you know what you're doing. Go ahead. I can live with it. But I was determined I'm going to win her over. I've got about an hour to sit here, and I am going to win her over. The first thing I did is I said, she wasn't even wanting to talk. I said, hey, what's your name in case I want to ask for you again? Like, never. In case I want to tell them I don't want her. So I didn't want to say. I said, in case I want to ask for you again, what's your name? And she said, Faye. And I said, how do you spell it? And she said, F-A-Y-E. And I said, oh, that's my middle name. I said, that's my middle name. I said, you know that means faith, right? And she's like, no, I didn't know that. And before it was over, she said, I hope you'll ask for me again. Well, what she didn't know at the time is I am a huge tipper because I honor people who serve us. It's as simple as that. You know what? They don't make what other people make. And so you want to be a blessing. So she was doubly blessed. But be careful who you look down on because you don't know. Maybe one day they're a slave and they're working for somebody. And the next day they may be a person of influence. And they may be able to help you sometime too. So this is the situation with Joseph. But I want to say that God will make sure that you're vindicated if you've been betrayed. If you've been wounded, if someone has falsely accused you, I want to say it like this. If no one will stand up for you when you've been wronged, God will. If no one will stand up for you. So last week I shared three life lessons that we learned from the story of Joseph. I just want to briefly go over these. I don't want you to forget them. Number one, God will lift you up right in front of the people who pushed you down. Last night, the title of my message was, He Prepareth for Me a Table in the Presence of My Enemies. God will lift you up in front of the people who pushed you down. Number two, God will so change and transform and bless your life that the people who actually hated you and despised you in your past won't even hardly recognize you. The brothers did not recognize Joseph. And God will so bless you that the people who you needed that were not there for you and came out strong against you will find themselves needing exactly what you have to offer. Exactly what you have to offer. And so here's a strong warning. When your enemy comes, and he will, do not gloat. Do not gloat when your enemy comes. I want to share something briefly. This is kind of a side note from even the lesson tonight. But I want to tell you that there is definitely a time when you should not have fellowship with people who are workers of iniquity or people who are angry or people who work wickedness. But I want to tell you something about your enemies. I don't know if you have ever heard it said like this, you have a responsibility to your enemies. God has given you a responsibility to your enemies, and you might not like to hear that, but that's what it is. So let me read it to you, Romans 12:20. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. It is not up to you to right all wrongs. God is the one who rights all wrongs. And Joseph was going to do exactly that. By the way, we're going to be talking about that. He was going to feed them and give them water and drink because there was a famine in the land. So Joseph's brothers had come to Egypt to Joseph. They did not know it was Joseph for food. They could not provide for themselves. Now, here's a very interesting lesson in here. In all of Egypt and all of the surrounding lands, even the world, the Bible says the entire world, there was famine at that time. I liked that because I thought, that's crazy. How could there be a famine in the whole world? Well, there can. There absolutely can. And so what this meant was everyone who got food had to come to Jesus and to Joseph, who is a type of Jesus. And that's the way it is in the world. We're hungry. And guess what? We all have to come to Jesus to have our needs met. So because he's a type of Christ. We cannot provide what we need for ourselves. We came into this world with nothing, and everything we have is because of Jesus Christ. So here they are. There's 10 of them, and that represents the law. And the law could have actually killed them because the law does kill. But because of Joseph and his mercy and his compassion, they're going to live. Because he chooses to forgive. Because the law kills, and Jesus fulfilled the law when he gave a higher law, the law of grace and mercy, of love and life. So I shared last week that when they came before Joseph, the Bible tells us that Joseph knew them, but they did not know him. That's very, very interesting. But it really puts Joseph in the driver's seat, doesn't it? Here's the brothers. And I know you guys. We've met before. But you kind of don't know me right now. And I'm kind of like in charge of everything around here. I mean, everything. And if you get food or if you don't get food, it's going to be my decision. That's a powerful place. It's a really interesting place to find yourself in when the people standing before you have harmed you in such a grievous way. And so Joseph decides to mess with them a little bit. And he's human, although he represents a type of Christ in the story. We have to remember he was actually this was a real account, and he was human. Joseph then accuses them of being spies, knowing full well that they are not spies. They want food, and Joseph is going to promise them food, but with conditions. So the brothers had told Joseph that they had another brother, but that's a younger brother, and he had to stay at home with the father. So Joseph decides to test him, and here's what he says in chapter 42, 15. He says, "Hereby you shall be tested. I need to know if you're truthful. You're going to be proved. By the life of Pharaoh, you shall not go forth thence except your younger brother come here. Send one of you and let him go get your brother, and you shall be kept in the prison so that your words may be proven, whether there is any truth in you." I love that. Is there any truth in? Can you guys tell the truth at all? "Or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely you are spies." Or if you can't do this, you're going to be spies. And he put them all in the prison for 3 days. I want to stop and say, I love this. I love this. I really love this. I'm sorry. I'm human too. I love this. I was laughing so hard. I read this over and over last night, and I was just sitting in my room, and I was just laughing. And he put them in prison for 3 days. Have you ever seen that show? They used to have a show called Scared Straight, and they would put troubled kids or bad kids in a cell with these hardened criminals, and the criminals would start telling the kids, "You don't want to be here. It's awful. They're going to beat you up," and all kinds of things. And many of those tough kids would start crying. I like this because Joseph gave them a little test, a little taste of how it was for him in prison. I think that's fair. I think that's right. The Bible says we reap what they sow. I like that they had to do the 3 days in jail. I would have given them 30 days in jail. I like it. I like it. And Joseph said to them on the third day, "This do and live, for I fear God." He's going to tell them, the guys, exactly what they have to do if they want to stay alive. They just expected to come. You got to understand this. They expected to just get in the line with everybody else. "Hey, sir, can we buy food? There's 10 of us. We have a crippled father at home. He's older, and we got this younger brother, and we just need this food. We're going to buy." They brought money. This was the food program. And here the guy goes, "This is what you have to do to live." And they're in prison for 3 days. They did not expect that at all, and they don't know why. They didn't know how they would die. Is the famine going to kill us, or is this guy going to kill us? We just really don't know. But he said, "You got to do something to live." And so it's so lame that they didn't recognize him at all. But I'm going to read verse 19. "If you be honest men, let one of your brothers be bound in the house of the prison. Go you and carry corn for the famine to your houses, but bring your youngest brother to me so that your words shall be proven, and you shall not die." And they did so. Now, I found this funny also and I really like Joseph for this reason. He said, "But bring your youngest brother to me so your words shall be verified, confirmed, and you shall not die." The brothers are in a terrible situation. They have to get the food or they're definitely going to die, and they have to get the food from this guy or they're definitely going to die. There's no one else in the surrounding lands that has food. They're between a rock and a hard place. This is the only grocery store in town, period, in the world at that time. And this guy wants them to go and get Benjamin. So they begin to have a discussion among themselves because they do not believe that Joseph can understand them. So I find this also amusing. You know, if you're in a restaurant and you speak Spanish and you see somebody nearby that you don't think speaks Spanish because of the color of their skin, and you start speaking about them, be careful. Be careful, because sometimes we know the language, okay? And So here's the thing. I wish I could have told them, you reap what you sow, guys, and if don't do the crime if you can't do the time. Plain and simple, I wish I could have told them. So here's their conversation. Let's listen in. And they said one to another, we are very guilty concerning our brother. We saw his anguish of his soul when he begged us, and we did not hear or care. Therefore, that's why this distress has come upon us. Now, here's where I give the brothers high marks. High marks. I just have to give it to them. You're finally getting that this might be your fault. It might be something you did. You know, most of the time when things happen, you know, you immediately start saying, oh, it's this guy Joseph, or it's this guy, you know. They're finally getting the message that we did some bad, bad stuff, and we actually deserve all of this. We're just not good people. We're not good men. They're finally able to put it together. What they're saying is this happened all because of what we did to Joseph. And so Reuben, not the sandwich, Reuben, I think they named the sandwich after him, answered and he said, spoke I not to you? Did I not tell you not to sin against that child and you would not hear? Therefore, behold, now his blood is required. And Reuben is just like, he's got it. He actually did at one point try to physically get the boy away and did have success because they were going to kill him. But Reuben disappears between the picnic, somewhere in the picnic time after they sat down to have their lunch. Reuben disappears after they throw him in the cistern. Let's throw him in the cistern, which is the same interchangeable as the pit. We're going to throw him in here. Reuben is nowhere to be found. They have a new discussion about what they do. They decide to sell him. And so Reuben comes back, and, you know, he's very distraught. But Reuben tells them, I told you not to sin against the child. Therefore, behold, they're assuming he's dead now. His blood is required. Now, they had no idea what happened after they sold Joseph. They assumed that at some point he probably died. They never heard from him again, of course. But here's the thing. They had to go home to their father, and they had a blood-soaked coat from the goat that they killed, and, you know, it was Joseph's coat, and they presented it to the brother, to the father, making him feel as if Joseph was devoured by a wild animal, tore him to pieces, and here's the blood-soaked coat. No DNA testing at that time. There was no way the father believed that. Now, if I was the brothers, I want to tell you this. Truth is always better than a lie. Truth is always going to serve you better than a lie. That father would have much rather them come home and just said, look, Dad, we got in a fight with Joseph. It was really bad. So we sold him to some guys. He's in another land. He's a worker somewhere. Then telling him that he was devoured by a wild animal. Truth is always better than a lie, but most people don't know that. And so they believe that Joseph had likely died. And on some level, they know that they're the reason they're in this situation in their own lives right now, because that does follow you until that's resolved. And that at this moment, they realize that they're going to probably be killed. And they knew not that, verse 23 says, and they did not know that Joseph understood them, for he spoke to them through an interpreter. Boy, was he cunning. He was cunning. He could have spoke to them in their own language, but he did not. He used an interpreter. That was very interesting too. But he's not quite ready to reveal himself to them because he really wants to know, are you the same? Are you the same guys that you always were? Have you changed at all? And so verse 24 says, and he turned himself around from them and he wept and returned to them again. He went out of the room actually and he wept. And the word weep here is like the word when it says Jesus wept over Lazarus, which means a deep gut from the pit of your stomach, gut-wrenching, weeping, and inconsolable. And he wept and returned to them again and communed with them and took from them Simeon and bound him before their eyes. I find this interesting. I found this part very, very interesting. But Joseph has come away with a lot of information because he was privy to a conversation that they did not know that he was listening. And he understands one of the things that probably actually touched his heart was that Reuben did speak up for him. You know, there was a little glimmer of something there. And that they have acknowledged that they did harm to him. You have to acknowledge that I did this, you know. But I like now that they took Simeon and bound him before their eyes. Now, I don't know what Simeon's part in Joseph getting thrown in the cistern, getting sold, all of that, because the Bible is fairly silent on that. But he in particular gets chosen to do some extra jail time. There's got to be a reason for that Joseph chose Simeon, that Simeon got chosen. But I'll tell you what, when something like this is presented to us in the Bible, I always like to find out what the rabbis believe. You know, when it's a Hebrew situation, I like to find out what the rabbinical scholars believe. And they believe that since Reuben was not present at that time, had went away for a time, that Simeon, being the next oldest, he was likely the strongest influence, the strongest instigator in this situation. Let's do it, let's do it, let's do it. But again, I have to tell you also that even though scholars say that, the Bible is fairly silent on that, so we can't assume that. But for some reason, we do know someone who was actually there and knew exactly who the instigators were and who should have got the extra jail time. Guess who it is? Joseph. We must remember that Joseph knows every detail of this situation. Who said what? Who wanted him to die? Who wanted to sell him? Who was the first one to decide you get thrown in the pit? Joseph knew everything because he was there. And they're forgetting that. But on a good note, Joseph sends the other brothers who have not been chosen for extra jail time. They are now out of jail. He sent them home with corn and food and plenty of it. Not only did he do that, remember I told you that they had paid Joseph for the food? Joseph had his people put their money back in their bags, in their satchels. This I find very interesting too. And on the way back, one of them opened his sack, and he saw that his money was in his sack. And he said to the other brothers, "My money is in my sack." And they got so scared. They did not understand this. This confused them. Come to find out, all of their money had been returned to them. Now, they believe this is the punishment, the first phase of the punishment from God. Verse 23b says, their hearts failed them. They almost fainted. And they were afraid, saying one to another. In other words, they were discussing this. What is this that God has done to us? They are so afraid. This is the punishment of God to us. Isn't that the way that we always act? Why is it? I said this yesterday, why is it that we fail to thank God often for his great blessings, but boy, we're quick if something goes wrong to say, why did God do that? And they actually believe this is the punishment of God, but the God that I know that they're going to find out about is a God of forgiveness, he's a God of mercy, and a God of grace, or they wouldn't even be alive at this point right now, up and to get their sacks and go head back home. They would have already been killed, but it's so interesting to me because in the end, God's going to prove that he is so wonderful and merciful to wicked people like them. So the brothers go to Jacob and they tell him everything. They don't tell him not one lie. This time they're not deceiving him at all. I see some change happening in their life. I don't know how that came to be, but they tell him everything that happened. And by the way, this is a very dysfunctional family, just in case you feel that your family is the most dysfunctional. These people truly get the prize for that award. And verse 36 says, and Jacob, their father, said to them, you have bereaved me of my children. Joseph is no more, and now Simeon is no more. You took away Joseph. And he's blaming them, by the way. I think the father, like I said, knows more than he's letting on. He said, you are the one. You took Joseph from me. He's as good as dead. You took Simeon from me. I don't have him anymore. He's as good as dead. And now you want to take Benjamin away. All these things, he said, are against me. So now Jacob is confused. The brothers are confused. And they don't have a good track of protecting their other brothers. We are our brother's keeper. They don't have a good track record. And Reuben spoke to his father, saying, slay my two sons if I bring him not to you. They're wanting to take Benjamin back to Egypt, and deliver him to my hand, and I will bring him to you again. Well, what Jacob knows is Reuben never got back with Joseph. And he seems not to have gotten back with Simeon either. And so we're going to give the kid to you, Reuben. Reuben, I know you're the oldest, but you don't have a good track record. I give you my kids to babysit, and you don't bring them back. Jacob said, no, no deal. My son will not go with you because his brother is dead and he is left alone. If mischief befall him on the way when you go, then you shall you bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. I'm just going to die. I just won't be able to take it. I can't do this anymore. So the brothers stayed home for a while. Now, this is something I find kind of amusing, and let me tell you why. We know that we're beginning chapter 43 tonight, but it says that they stayed, listen to this. And the famine was terrible in the land, and it came to pass when they had eaten up the corn, which they brought out of Egypt, their father said to them, go again and buy us a little food. So this tells me, and commentators will tell you, that during this time, Joseph had sent them home with lots and lots and lots of corn and provision. They stayed home quite a while. Meanwhile, guess who's over here in prison? He's doing the extra jail time. That would be Simeon. Simeon is still back in Egypt. It's not like we get the impression that they went home. First of all, do you know how far you got to travel? So there's traveling time. I mean, days and days and days to travel. And then there would be days and days to get back. And then in the meantime, they stay home to, you know, fill the freezer and eat, you know, for who knows. So the time period had to be almost 9 months at least, we figure. This is interesting. Meanwhile, Simeon is still in jail. So I like this. I really like this. So they stayed home a while. And so Judah spoke to him, saying, when the father said, you got to go get food. We're now out of food again. You got to go food. And Judah spoke to him and said, the man, they don't know Joseph's name, the man solemnly protested to us, saying, you shall not see my face. You're not even going to get to come before me unless your brother is with you. If you send our brother with us, we will go down and buy food. Oh, my goodness. I keep thinking, you know, they're all home eating corn on the cob, and Simeon's in jail, and now they want to take, they're run out, they want to take the little brother, and Jacob did not want to send Benjamin for good reason, but he doesn't have a choice either. Our destiny is decided by God. And Judah tells Jacob also, okay, Reuben's didn't work. Judah tells Jacob that they absolutely will not, he's standing his father down, he said, we will not go back unless Benjamin can go with us, because the man in charge of the food program in Egypt said, we can't even see him unless we have Benjamin with him. And so Jacob is so bereaved, and I can just picture his heart. I actually have a heart for him, because he asked them a straight question. He said, why did you even tell him that you had a younger brother? Now, but they couldn't have known, and they told Jacob, they said, the man asked us an exact question. He said, do you have another brother? And, you know, at that point, it was a good thing they told the truth, because once again, I tell you, Joseph knew they had, he would have known that they were lying. And so they were trying to do everything. Now they're finally trying to do everything by the book. It isn't going so well, but they're still trying to tell the truth and do what's right. Now, Judah says the same thing as Reuben did. Let me be responsible for Benjamin. I like the heart of Jacob. And their father said to them, if it must be so now, do this. Take the best fruits in the land in your vessels and carry down the man a present. Give him a gift of balm, honey, spices, myrrh, nuts, and almond. And take double money in your hand and the money that was brought again in your sacks and carry it again in your hand. Peradventure, it was oversight. It might have been an oversight, like they didn't think to take the money or something. But I want you to take double money. Pay twice as much if you need to, and give back the money that they should have kept the first time, and take these gifts. take also your brother and arise and go to the man. Verse 14, and God Almighty give you mercy before that man, that he may send away your other brother and Benjamin. He wants Simeon back. He wants Benjamin back. If I be grieved of my children, I am grieved. In other words, I guess if I lose them, I lose them. And that's a sad place for this father. So they bring Benjamin with them and the gifts and the money, and they stood before Joseph. And Joseph had prayed for mercy for them, and Jacob had prayed for mercy for them, that Joseph would have mercy on them, and didn't even know that was his own son. And he represents Jesus, but we all need mercy. And when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the ruler of his house, bring these men home and kill and make ready, for these men shall dine with me at noon. He's going to bring them to their house, his house, to eat. And the men did as Joseph said, and the man brought the men to Joseph's house. I can't even imagine what the brothers were thinking. I can't imagine what they were feeling. It just had to be fear. They had no idea what was happening. Is he going to kill us, or is he going to feed us first, give us dinner before he kills us? And the men were afraid, just like I suspected, because they were brought to Joseph's house, and they said, it's because of the money that was returned in our sacks. They're just terrified. They can't imagine why they're here. And they said, because of the money that was turned in our sack at the first time, are we brought in that he may seek occasion against us to fall on us and take us for bondmen and our asses. They feel like they're going to be hostages. They're going to be killed, but they're going to get dinner first. It's just so funny. And they get to the door, literally, of Joseph's house that they don't want to be at. By the way, I just got to tell you at this point, they don't want dinner. Have you ever not wanted to go to dinner at someone's house because they might poison you? They literally said, he may fall on us. He may just decide to kill us at dinner. And so they tell the steward, hey, that the guy who's at Joseph's house, the butler, whatever, steward, hey, we came down once before to buy food, and when we stopped at the hotel on the way, we saw that our money had been returned to us, so we got it here with us, and we brought more money too, because we had no idea who put the money in our sack. But this steward is in on all that Joseph's doing with them, messing with them, and he seems to kind of feel sorry for these guys, because the steward said, peace be to you. Fear not. Your God and the God of your father has given your treasure in your sacks. And here's what he says to them. I had your money. And he brought Simeon out to them. He knew all about the situation. And it's such a wonderful story because Joseph gives them gifts. And at the same time, he taught them many lessons. He really did. And Joseph's steward was treating them royally. They called them in, they had their feet washed, and the steward had their animals fed, and then Joseph came in for the lunch, and Joseph asked them, is the old man that you talked about alive, which is his father? They told him he was healthy and alive, and he saw Benjamin and was happy, and he was moved to tears. Joseph became so emotional that he had to go again into another room to weep, still not wanting to reveal himself to them. So he returns for the meal, and he sits in another section of the home because the Egyptians are forbidden to eat with Hebrews. So they eat separately, not at the same table. But Joseph did something that should have clued them in. And this is where we're going to stop, and we're going to continue next week. I can see such humor in the Bible. But Joseph sat the men. He did the seating chart himself for the dinner. And he sat each of the men in order according to their age. And they were shocked. They didn't know. They thought that was the strangest, strangest thing. Now, Joseph is going to put them through yet another test next week. But he is something else. It is really. But these brothers are just, they know what they did. And when you're guilty, You constantly think like that. You know, if they hadn't done anything wrong, and this is a lesson to us, if you don't do anything wrong, you don't have to worry about where you go eat or what. But they knew they had done so wrong and that they needed to pay for that somehow. They didn't understand about mercy and grace. And isn't that the way it is with us sometimes? We do things and we think God would never forgive us. He's just waiting to throw the hammer at us. He's just waiting to call us to dinner and he's gonna kill us. And that's not our God. He's wanting to show mercy and grace, but they had never met the real Joseph, had they? Joseph was always that way throughout his life. He served well. His father must have taught him at a very young age how this is done, because he is a type of Christ in that he did not, you do not see sin in his life. You do not see that in his life. And so they're going to experience mercy and grace, but not yet. But when they were even invited to dinner, and that is, like I said, how you feel when you're guilty, like, oh my goodness, why is he inviting me to dinner? He's just going to follow me. He's just going to kill me. It's just because you know you're guilty. You know you're guilty. So the best thing to do is to repent of sin. Always tell the truth when you're asked the question. And they came to that conclusion themselves. But the story is really going to get interesting. And they're going to see mercy and grace. So if our musicians will play.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.